The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm joined by Neil Richmond, Minister of State for International Development and Diaspora, also TD for Dublin Rathdown. Minister, the reports indicate that the Taoiseach and Enterprise Minister Simon Harris is going to be meeting with the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick in the US this week. To achieve what, given that much of the, in fact, all of the competence in respect of the response will be EU rather than domestic?
Well, I suppose, Anton, this reminds me starkly of the last 5 or 6 years of my life that I would have spent on the Brexit beat, where regularly the then Taoiseach, Taoiseach and ministers would meet their British counterparts, even though, of course, the negotiations happen at an EU level. And this is important to remind people that we are the EU, and it's important that we have these open conversations, because the whole point of the next couple of days and weeks is to move into a negotiation phase, to make sure that the full impact of decisions being made is known. And the Taoiseach met and spoke with the Commerce Secretary previously, and he made it very clear that the economic relationship between the EU and the US and Ireland and the US, it is very much a two-way one. And it's important that we constantly have that discussion to make sure people know that. So he's due to travel to the US, as is our Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden next week. And these are really important meetings. People want us to talk, want us to respond calmly. This is how this is achieved.
Is there any risk in so doing? Because Lutnick has previously referred to Ireland as being his favourite international tax scam. Do we not put ourselves squarely in the crosshairs of US attention by going into a bilateral meeting like this, when we should be staying absolutely within the confines of the EU and responding jointly?
Oh, and we are staying absolutely within the confines of the EU, and the response will be an EU response. We put on the blue jersey, we put on the green jersey. But at times like this, particularly when it comes to international trade and international diplomacy, the most important thing is to talk. It's to talk and use every opportunity and every angle possible. And that's why the discussions won't just be with the Commerce Secretary, but also with figures around Congress and also at a state level. This is why, Anton, we sent 9 government ministers to the United States as part of our St. Patrick's Day programme. It's why we have our Irish-American Global Trade Forum set up as well.
Well, if you look at that, we sent 9 ministers across, and within days they had Conor McGregor in the White House starting a debate about immigration in Ireland, and then slapped the EU with massive tariffs. It didn't really achieve much, did it?
Well, 9 ministers went to 15 different US states. It wasn't just the events in the US, in US capital, in Washington. We look at the opportunities that have opened up on a trading basis, on a cultural basis, and also with our diaspora. It is really important, and I'm not going to get distracted by a 20-minute photo call by Conor McGregor in the White House, nor should anyone. I really am not going to start taking lessons on international diplomacy or trade from someone like that.
No, but sorry, my point being, The ideology seems so baked in the current administration that you can do all of the nice, normal diplomacy and it changes not. It's hard to see what Simon Harris can say to Howard Lutnick that is going to cause the scales to fall from his eyes and him to take a different ideological view.
Well, I suppose it's not just about one individual. And you have to take every opportunity to have every discussion, because when I mentioned those 9 ministers who travelled to St. Patrick's Day, it wasn't just to Washington. It was talking with state legislators, Congress people, governors who can make decisions and who can make decisions that impact in the wider economic basis. We saw over 19,000 people come from Florida to Dublin last year in something that was worth €147 million in the College Football Classic. We have to use every opportunity to have that. And I know that the ideology is strongly baked into lots of people around President Trump, and indeed I know the comments that the Commerce Secretary has made widely. However, that doesn't mean that we can't stop talking to them, or that we can simply sit this one out and say, you know what, there's nothing we can do about this. There is lots we can do and lots we must do.
What about the EU response? Because prior to the tariffs being put in place, the mood music and discourse around it was that it would be the economic equivalent of a sort of a mutually assured destruction, that there was simply going to be an equal and opposite response triggered as soon as the tariffs came in, which is what we saw China do. In actual fact, now the EU is sitting on its hands and vacillating and appears to be in disagreement among its member states rather than coherent, cohesive and rapid. Why?
Oh, I completely reject that assertion. What the people ask for us, Anton, is for the European Union and its constituent parts to respond calmly and in a measured and a targeted basis, not to fire out something on social media within an hour of the announcement by President Trump, like certain opposition members did here. And what we are having is the real discussion, because the EU has been planning for this for months, long before President Trump actually got elected, when they were talking about this through the campaign. There is a full suite of measures that the EU can select from. But the whole point of this, and we have a bit of experience here, because we saw this when tariffs were introduced in 2018 and 2019 during the first presidency. You need to respond in a measure that brings people to the table. Just last night, we heard President Trump saying, I'm up for a deal. This is the man who believes he is the master of the art of the deal. That's why the EU response, which will be talked through by trade ministers in Luxembourg on Monday, must be one that is targeted, that actually moves the dial on this, that isn't just a reactionary attempt to ratchet up a trade war.
But sorry, hang on for a second, Minister, that there is a paradox in your response. We have had, as you say, months to plan for this. The kind of decision-making process that you are describing surely should already be done and dusted. And the point at which these tariffs, which were predicted 4 months, came into effect, there should have been an immediate, clear response.
And there has been an immediate clear response in terms of what we're doing. First and foremost, the tariffs actually haven't come into effect yet. They come in a day or two's time. What the EU has said is they will present, in a measure, a set of responses that will allow for people discussion. We see various countries are taking a different approach. You've mentioned China. You've seen the British approach initially was, well, you know what, we'll just take the tariff and we won't respond at all. The conversation has changed. As I said, I spent Thursday on British media hearing that conversation change. What the EU will do is what the EU will do best. The EU is a particularly good trade negotiating body. It's why Ireland enjoys free and fair access to so many markets around the world. And that is the response. We don't want a full-scale trade war just for the sake of it. There will be a strong, united, coherent European response that actually makes sense. And we're going to start to see the genesis of that announced publicly this week based on the tariffs already announced by the US earlier on aluminium, steel and in the automotive industry.
Can I ask what your own view is on this? Because there seems to be a growing consensus that in some way this is an opening gambit to a negotiation. But in actual fact, everything that the administration has said has made clear that the objective is not to negotiate, but that the objective is to force American manufacturing or global manufacturing back to America and to repatriate jobs. That's not a negotiating tactic. That's an end result. These are the tariffs that are designed to be protectionist. Why do we somehow believe we can negotiate our way around that strategic intent?
Because tariffs on their own can't instantaneously achieve that. If we take certain sectors, it hasn't been noted yet, but we do expect tariffs on the life sciences pharmaceutical sector in order to repatriate those processing plants to the US. That's a 5 to 7 year period. That's not going to happen over the next couple of weeks or months. We heard the president himself last night on Air Force One saying, look, I'm prepared to see the deals from the EU. You have to respond in a manner that forces the United States to the table, as we saw with tariffs in both 2018 and 2019. That's the process that we're in now.
So do you think China's got it wrong?
I think China have taken the approach that China's different. The trade relationship between the EU and the US is worth 1.4 trillion euro. It has been mutually beneficial. We know President Trump's attitude, both politically and economically, to China. It's well stated. It's one that's far more adversarial. This is an economic one. So just because there's a routine suite of tariffs and there's an overarching game, it doesn't mean that the approach to China is the same as the approach to the EU or the approach to the United Kingdom or approach to, Japan, Canada, Australia and so many other countries that are impacted.
Should there not be or is there not an argument for international cohesion beyond the European Union? I mean, obviously there has to be a fairly easy, strong relationship with Mark Carney and his administration in Canada. Is there not a logic to saying, let us try to get an even broader cohesive response, because the obvious American intent is to divide and conquer?
Yeah, and I think there's when we come into whether we're talking about competing interests or indeed opportunities, and maybe it's because I'm a slight optimist in this world, but there are opportunities, and indeed President von der Leyen said this in her address to the European Parliament in Strasbourg. We have the responsibility first and foremost here in Ireland, as you mentioned, to get CETA, the trade deal with Canada, over the line in the next couple of days or weeks, and the Taoiseach is bringing the next stage of legislation to the law. But also, we have really strong European trade deals with economies that are affected by the US tariffs. We think think of Southeast Asia, we think of the massive tariffs that have been put on countries, big economies like Vietnam, like Malaysia, like Indonesia. We already have fully operational European trade deals there, where we have an opportunity. We already sell a lot of Irish agri-food, a lot of Irish technology into those jurisdictions. They're big markets. We need to really maximise our opportunities there. And that's the task that has been given to Enterprise Ireland, and it's something that I would have worked a little bit on in my days in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment in terms of leading trade missions. And I very much hope and expect that we're going to do an awful lot more of that in the coming weeks and months. But we will still need a trading relationship with the United States. We still will have one. Unfortunately, the President of the United States has decided to change it, but now we move into the negotiation phase to really limit the damages therein.
You said that you are expecting tariffs in life sciences, pharma and medtech. On what are you basing that expectation?
Well, the statement of the United States government, who said that there will be no tariffs placed on the pharmaceutical sector for now. Unfortunately, for now isn't very definitive. It leads you to expect that they will come, and it would tally with some of the discussions and interventions made by President Trump previously. But let's see what happens in the weeks and months. The tariffs that have already announced will be very, very tough on the Irish economy. But we're poised as a government to make sure that we respond on an international level with our European partners, but also on a domestic level, as we've helped people get through so many challenges heretofore.
If those tariffs that you are predicting on pharma and medtech come to pass, how devastating will it be for Ireland?
Well, we look at the worst case scenario mapping that was released just over a week ago by both the Department of Finance in cooperation with the ESRI, and that could lead to about 80,000 jobs not being created over the next 3 to 5 years. That's massive, because those jobs create 3 jobs each as well, and they're so important to so many parts of the country and so many homes and households beyond that sector. It is one that we're really, really wary of, but it's absolutely one that we'll have to respond to, because even if a 20 or 25% tariff is brought on to goods coming from Ireland into the US for medicines or buy parts into medicines, we will still sell a lot. But it is an industry that last year sold over €50 billion worth of goods to the United States.
Lastly, we see a difference in tariff, 10 versus 20% gap between the UK and the EU, which of course means Republic of Ireland, which has huge implications both for the UK-EU relationship, the UK-Ireland relationship, and North-South import exports and trade. What's the plan to get a combined response with Britain, and what, if anything, has happened in terms of talks with Britain thus far?
Well, we're having really good negotiations with the British government at the moment, and thankfully relations between Ireland and the UK and the EU and the UK are in a really good place now compared to a couple of years ago. In terms of the response, I suppose we're certainly looking at it from how this impacts this island, and the 10% tariff from exports from Northern Ireland to the US is considerably lower. There isn't too many areas where that overlaps, but the concern will be, and it will happen, is when there's a tariff differentiation that the EU puts in, that will require the operations of the Windsor Agreement to make sure businesses in Northern Ireland aren't overly punished. And those discussions are ongoing and constant, and we're going to make sure that equally we look to trade as much and even more with the UK where we can too.
Neil, thank you very much. That's Neil Richmond, Minister of State for International Development and Diaspora, and TD for Dunleary Rathdown.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.